Well, I think the most important thing to take away from the summit is actually that it did not seem to have much substance, because if the statements that each of the presidents made after the close of the summit are correct, they raised a lot of issues that one could have guessed that they would raise from what has been covered in the media recently, but they did not talk about any substantial discussion or agreement. They just sort of said, you know, now everything is going to be starting over again and we're friends. But there were no specifics. You know, people had been hoping, I had been hoping, that one of the things they would raise would be an extension of the New START treaty. And they both mentioned the word nuclear weapons, but neither of them indicated that anything substantive had actually been done on that issue. So I think we're left guessing about what the substance actually was. It's not clear why they bothered to have the summit at all.
On that same note, was there anything in particular that struck you as being omitted, anything that you expected but was glaringly omitted from any statements? And you sort of mentioned that with the New START and arms control. Expand on that, please.
What was really interesting to me is that the two presidents didn't seem to have their lists squared away with each other of what was actually discussed. And so, you know, President Putin went first in the press conference and went down the line of maybe a dozen issues. And then President Trump went next, and so you'd be expecting that he would raise exactly those same set of issues, but he really didn't in quite the same way. And so I think that leaves us even more perplexed about what was actually discussed, if anything, in that, what was it, two-hour meeting that they had.
Yeah, allegedly 2 hour. Do you think it's premature or immature, perhaps, to say there was a winner and a loser out of this event?
There was a winner, and it was clearly President Putin. You know, he was in many ways he scored very big even before the meeting happened. Just the idea that the Americans wanted to have a summit with him, given all that is going on after President Obama had previously canceled the summit after the Snowden granting Snowden asylum in Russia. This was a way of Putin taking all of the internal discussion in Russia off of what was happening with the pension reform and the raising of the retirement age, and putting it squarely back on where he feels that he has the most headway, which is that he's brought Russia back, he's made Russia great again. Russia has to be taken seriously and considered among anybody discussing any kinds of international security issues, and President Trump just proved that for him. And I think, you know, also in the content, not so much of the prepared speeches, but my goodness, the part of the press conference that involved answering questions, it was not unbelievable, because we keep on hearing President Trump do the same thing over and over again. But for President Trump to, you know, take that question about the 12 GRU officers and just deflect and make it all about the Democrats and collusion, and then that sort of nicely set up the possibility for President Putin to talk about collusion and say that there, of course, was no collusion. And I thought it was the most interesting part of the whole press conference was that Putin was able to keep a straight face when he said, oh, well, you know, Mueller could give all of his information over to us, and we could interrogate those people, and Mueller could even come and watch. And he said that, you know, without cracking a smile, which I find rather impressive.
Yes. Yeah, there's plenty to be said in that regard. The larger context where this is happening, we have, of course, the NATO summit, and then the stuff in London with the Theresa May's government, and now this. What sort of larger conclusions can we draw about what comes next with all this?
I think we have no idea what comes next. The one thing that's very clear is that President Trump is not on the same page with his advisors or with the U.S. Senate or U.S. Congress. I would guess that, you know, most of Trump's base doesn't care all that much about foreign policy, and so maybe they don't really care that all of this is happening. But Trump is standing out as being sort of isolated among U.S. politicians on both sides of the aisle, and even with his own advisory team on what he is saying. I mean, he is essentially saying that he doesn't believe in any of the traditional foreign policy values that the United States has held ever since the close of World War II. War II. You know, I guess we knew that, but having him say that so strongly in so many international contexts in a way that is in many ways very embarrassing and that really brings shame on the United States is you know, it's interesting to watch and tragic.